97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. Kim on a whim.
Oh, alligator Alcatraz is back in the headlines, and you want to know why, Ryan?
I do.
There's a hunger strike going on. They're entering their 10th day, and the detainees there, so the illegals there, are refusing to eat because they say that it's inhumane and dangerous conditions. Have you seen the videos inside? Now, obviously, we haven't been given the grand tour of every single nook and cranny of alligator Alcatraz, but do you recall when Ron DeSantis took members of the Trump administration, including Trump himself, on a tour of alligator Alcatraz? The media was invited, and there was actually a reporter at the time, and I don't recall which outlet he was with, but he made some comment about, you know, it's air conditioned in here. It actually feels pretty good. It's probably, he guessed, around 72 degrees.
Yeah. I think that they have to now.
They would have to. They can't have them, you know, in the middle of swampy Florida when it's 90 degrees out. My point is, yes, are there a bunch of bunk beds stacked in one giant room? And yes, is it separated by, well, people describe it as cages, but are there fences or whatever you want to, gates, whatever you want to call them? Yeah, there are, but they have to do something to make sure that the people can't escape and that it doesn't become chaotic inside the facility. So it's not like they're going to be sitting up there and putting drywall and all these nice, you know what I mean? I don't know really what people expect. It's alligator Alcatraz, as we call it. It's not supposed to be this beautiful resort where you go and, you know, you get massages and all of these things. You're being detained. So I'm a little confused why people are so angry about that. But anyway, there's this one guy, Pedro Hernandez, who is there at Alligator Alcatraz, and he is among those detainees who refuses to eat. And his wife did a story with NBC News, says that she's terrified for his health and worries that he could now die in custody or just that he'll be deported back to Cuba. And I want to play part of this interview for you because it's part of the story, because you hear her speaking in Spanish, then they translate, and then she supposedly recorded part of the conversation that she had with her husband while he has been detained over there. Listen.
My husband was in prison. We make mistakes, but we learn from them and fix things, Damaris Hernandez says. Thursday, she shared Pedro's plea for help from what he describes as deplorable conditions. It's also day 9 with no food. He's on a hunger strike with other detainees. I'm not going to eat another plate of food until they show us respect, Pedro said.
Okay, what does that mean, until they show us some respect? I mean, really, like, I'm not saying that you should be beaten in there. I'm not insinuating that. But I guess I would really love to know what his definition of respect is. You came into our country illegally. Whether you had a green card initially, it expired, you never did anything about it, or you just, like millions of other people, hopped across the border because you felt like you could do so and didn't need to go about it the right way and never took time in the 20-plus years or whatever that you've been here to actually go through the process of becoming a United States citizen. You still did something illegal. I just don't understand all of this.
Here's what they should do, okay? It's very simple. They should allow them to live the rest of their lives, and we should give them driver's licenses, and we should probably provide their health care and their education for their children, and we should let them vote and be counted in the census so we can have the congressional districts mapped. And we should just let them live the rest of their lives, and then they'll do the jobs that no one else wants to do, and we should all just be quiet about it. Oh, wait a second. That's what the Democrats...
that's what some of them are already trying to do.
that's what they've been trying to do for decades. No, I think that is probably one of the bad ideas, and that's what we've been progressing on for the last couple of decades. I think that knowing that Donald Trump is in his last term, and this is his last couple of years in office, and he has a Republican majority in the Congress, I feel like he understands he has no time to waste. How many times have we said there's no time to waste and politicians waste time? Dude is cranking out the hits right now.
He really
is. He is like the Beatles of politicians. His greatest hits record is just stacking one after another, because he's doing things that no politician would dare to do, because he realizes that I don't got time. There's probably other things. I mean, he had a near-death experience last year with the assassination attempt, and he realizes that life is short, especially when you're, you know, turning 80 and you're getting up there in age. I mean, you're in your 70s. You're not getting any younger. And he looks at this as his last chance to try to set the country in the right direction. And he's doing everything in his absolute power to do that. Mm-hmm. There's something very admirable about that. And I honestly, there's no other politician, I think, in the history of politics that I can think of that has taken this type of approach as fast as he's taking it to try to right things in the right direction, immigration included. He understands that people are going to hate him. I think the approval ratings don't mean that much in some ways, but I think the end game, which is rewriting all of these wrongs that have been over the last couple of decades, these inching in the wrong direction and then taking from the government and trying to like cold turkey quit that. This is just a one of the many things on Donald Trump's list of greatest hits that I think we're going to look back at and say, well done.
And we have to remember that this is what people wanted, that more than half the country voted for him. And on top of that, one of the biggest issues that drove a lot of people to the polls, people who maybe had voted for years, you know, for a Democrat candidate, for the very first time voted Republican, specifically because they had concerns about our country's safety, because you had millions of these illegals pouring in across our border, particularly from the southern, but also from the northern. You have fentanyl coming in at crazy levels. Something had to be done about it. So I think that while you do see, you talked about these polling numbers and you see them fluctuating all the time, and you know, oh, they people feel like Trump's gone too far on immigration and they just want this person to da, da, da. You hear all these different opinions about it. It, like you said, it probably doesn't really matter. The only reason I could see it mattering would be when it comes to midterms and when it comes to 2028. Now, obviously, Trump, despite him, you know, saying he'll run again, he obviously can't. He's not going to run again. But maybe it would hurt J.D. Vance. But to me, there's enough time between that election, 2028, that things can change. Yeah. I think that the only concern would be midterms and what kind of impact that could have. But still, I mean, when you look at the number of border crossings and just the number of the latest statistics that we see on a pretty regular basis coming out with Trump the first 6 months since he's been in office, I mean, it's incredible. Like you said, it's just win after win after win.
Yeah, this is, if I were to look at the country as a teenager that's growing up, you have Captain Crunch and donuts for breakfast. Then you have Doritos and fast food burgers for lunch. Then you have pizza and a 2 liter of Mountain Dew for dinner for your entire life for the past, you know, let's say now you're in your 40s and 50s and the doctor says you got diabetes. And where we're at right now is the kid trying broccoli for the first time in his life or a salad for the first time in his life. And there's a lot. No way. I'm not eating that salad. That's terrible. But your body is completely busted down
and
broken. It's what you need. Mm-hmm. It's the medicine that's going to hopefully turn you back around. Forget about RFK Jr. and all that stuff that he's doing, literally, when it comes to the health side. But that's where we're at as a country. You got to reverse this immediately, and you got to eat a salad, kid. And the kid's rejecting it, and that's where our country's at for the people that don't like this. They don't like the salad.
We don't like change. I mean, how many of us reject change at every opportunity? It's hard when we're trying to reverse course on something, right? We've been swimming one direction for years and years and years, and all of a sudden we're trying to turn around and go the other direction. It's growing pains. It's difficult. It's a pruning process. It's not supposed to be easy. What's the saying? Anything that's worth doing in life, it's not going to be a walk in the park. But that's a good thing. This is, like you said, what we need for our country. And so, yeah, maybe it is a little bit hard to see the stories that people want to post in, you know, the news and try to pull at the heartstrings and say, oh, you're so terrible. Look what you're doing. You're ripping this family apart. Well, no, they made that decision years ago to come. In this instance, as it relates to illegal immigration, they made that decision years ago and they put their own family in that position. They have only themselves to blame for that. Not us.
Yep.
Well, they are to blame.
He's doing it not just on immigration, but he's doing it with the economy, too. And this might be the hardest one for a lot of people, the hardest pill for some people to swallow, which is our reliance on foreign countries, including China, and what that does for our intake as consumers. Are things going to be more expensive Or are we going to find manufacturing and jobs continue to grow? Is this the only path to prevent full offshore expulsion of companies? Or are we going to have to try to find a way to bring it back into the United States and adapt to it? Because we're very good at adapting. So in the short term, you may find that there are some pains, but in the long term, you're going to have more jobs in a safer economy, mm-hmm. in a much more prosperous economy. For the people that look at it and say, oh, my parents and my grandparents, they had it so much better. Oh, they had the same job for 50 years. They started working right out of high school without a diploma, and they could afford a house and a car. And now they're rich because they have a house and they could afford one then, and they bought it for 2 pennies on the dollar. And, you know, they have all these different stories. Well, part of that was because we built things in America and we were able to rely on ourselves that way. To try to push it back in that direction, you want to talk about prosperity in the long run. That's how you do it. So we talk about immigration. We can talk about the economy. There's a lot of hard pills to swallow that we're going through those pains now. But in the long run, the philosophy and the strategy is good strategy. And I think it'll pay off. And it's kind of hard to see, but I think we're going to get there.
I agree.
Get more at 971talk.com.